Did you see similarities, David? Did you see, I guess, if there was a control, things that would happen in almost every episode?
Well, not every episode, but they began to have a certain similarity. In other words, there would be the footsteps. There were countless stories of the hitchhikers, you know, that people would see. And I even had an experience with one of those myself in 1975. And I don't know, would you like the story?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I was driving between Troy, New York, and Bennington, Vermont. And coming up this long, gradual incline, I could see a fellow standing silhouetted against the sky at the top of the hill, hitchhiking, but he was weaving all over the place. And as I got closer, I could tell that he was drunk. And the closer I got, he was just completely disarrayed. His hair was all, you know, going in 20 directions. He had holes in his clothing. And I just said, I don't need this kind of trouble. I'm not going to pick this guy up. And I didn't.
Smart move.
Over to Vermont. And did my business and came back on the same road, only to find this fella had switched over to the westbound lane and was now hitching back toward Troy.
So he basically is on the other side now.
Yes. And so I said to myself, well, I'm not going to pick him up this time either. And just then, buckets of rain came down, a real cloudburst. You know, and I said to the big G, why do you do this to me? You know I can't leave this guy out here. So I pulled over, and he got in.
Gotcha.
And he was not only drunk, he smelled.
Oh.
My goodness. And even with the pelting rain outside, I had to drop my window a little just to get some ventilation. And I said to the fellow, where are you going? Troy? Troy. Oh, you're going to Troy. Albany. Oh, you're going to Albany. Troy. And I thought, well, we're not going to have a long conversation here. I'll just take him down. So I got into a part of the city called Hoosick Street Hill. And just before we got up to the stoplight, this guy said, this is good enough. And I said, you want to get out here? Yes. Well, okay, let me pull into the curb. I don't want you getting out in traffic or you'll get killed. So I pulled into the curb. He hit my door handle. The door flew open. And he staggered, as I recall, on his feet and two hands. I mean, this guy was not able to stand
up. I mean, just
like
almost on all fours. He's crawling out of your car.
That's it. And he's up onto the little strip of grass along the curb, and he left my car door open. So, and I've timed this out in my head 1,000 times. I reached over, pulled the door shut, sat up straight, turned on my blinker to go out into traffic. Check the rearview mirror, nothing coming, that's good. And I was just about to accelerate when I thought, where is this guy? I'll bet he's under my wheels.
Oh, no.
And I turned.
Good. You know what? I would think the same thing.
Yeah. There's no one beside the car.
No way. Did you get out?
Eventually. I scanned 180, then 360 degrees. I could see over 100 yards in any direction. There was no place for him to hide.
No way.
Bushes, no car. I got out. I figured he had to be under the wheels. There's nothing under the car.
Yeah, he's passed out underneath my car.
Well, that's what I thought. But he was nowhere. And I didn't even know what to do with that. You know, it's one thing to read these things, but to have someone disappear, someone with whom you've had a conversation, someone you could smell. I mean, you can't say this was a figment of my imagination. I never solved that. I came home. I didn't even tell my wife about it for 2 weeks.
To this day, what do you think he was, a ghost?
I honestly don't know. The three explanations I've gotten is that A, a ghost, B, an angel, C, an alien.